All right, let's get started. Good evening and welcome to this dance dialogue conversation with Melanie Lane and Echo Suprianto. My name is Estelle Conley and I am the producer at Lucy Guerin Inc. I'd like to begin by acknowledging that I'm joining today's talk from the land of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation and pay my respects to elders past and present. I'd also like to extend this to any First Nations people joining us here tonight. I am a woman with green eyes and shoulder-length brown hair with a side part. I am wearing a leopard print collared shirt and the background behind me is blurred. My pronouns are she, her. Before introducing you to our wonderful artists, I'd like to run just through a few bits of housekeeping. At the bottom of your screen, you'll notice a chat button. In the chat, we encourage you to let us know where you're zooming in from tonight. To do this, be sure to select all panelists and attendees in the little blue drop-down menu first. This talk is being Auslan interpreted, and I'd like to welcome our interpreters, Dave and Nick. It's great to have you with us tonight. The talk is also being live transcribed, so if you would like to view the transcription during the talk, you can click on the link that we've just posted in the chat and this will appear in a separate browser window for you. We are recording tonight's session so that the audio can be published on our website down the track. So, on to tonight's talk. We're delighted to welcome Melanie Lane and Echo Suprianto for a deeply insightful conversation about creating work and their history working together. Before I hand over to them, some brief introductions. Melanie Lane is an Australian Javanese choreographer and performer. She has collaborated with artists from film, visual art, theatre and music, creating works that tread between performative forms and contexts. Her independent work has been presented at international festivals and theatres across the globe. Alongside her independent work, she has been commissioned to create new works for numerous companies, including Chunky Move, Sydney Dance Company, Dance North, Schauspiel Leipzig, HAU Berlin, and the West Australian Ballet. Melanie is currently resident artist at the Substation in Melbourne and associate artist at QL2 in Canberra. Welcome, Melanie. Founder and artistic director for Echo's Dance Company and solo dance studio in Indonesia, Echo Suprianto is the leading Indonesian dancer and choreographer of his generation. Trained in Javanese court dances and the Indonesian martial arts of Pencak Silat since the age of 7, Echo's performance career spans major works and tours throughout Indonesia, Europe, America, and the Asia Pacific. Echo holds a PhD in performance studies from Gadjah Mada University and a Master of Fine Arts in Dance and Choreography from the UCLA Department of World Arts and Cultures. Echo's performance career stretches from major commercial productions through to dance research projects. Welcome to Echo. And without further ado, I'll hand over to you both.
Thanks, Estelle. Hi, I'm Melanie Lane and I'm zooming in from Boonwurrung country and pay my respect to elders past, present and emerging. I'm a woman in my early 40s. I have long brown hair. I'm of European, Australian and Javanese cultural heritage and I'm wearing a black hoodie and my living room is behind me. Pass it over to you, Echo.
Hi, I'm Echo Suprianto. I give a respect to my elders, my ancestor, especially my mother and my father that already passed away in the heaven. I also pay respect to all of you who's attending for this meeting. I am a man who is in 51 years old. Do we need to speak about the year? No. wearing a black shirt, and I am considering myself as a shark, a black tick shark that is very small, not too dangerous, but just watch out. Thank you. I'm zooming from Solo, Central Java, Indonesia.
Thanks, Eko. I thought it would be really great to start off with when we first met, which was around a decade ago, so 2011, for a project that brought us together as performers and collaborators through a work called Solid States, which was created and directed by Arco Rents together with ourselves. It's really fun to be able to sit and talk to you about this because I don't think we've ever actually talked about it in retrospect. So I'm so curious to remember that experience and maybe, how that was for you as a first encounter.
Mm. Actually, we met in 2010. The project was started in 2011, no?
That's true, yes.
So I think I was introduced you by name by Arco Rents, where I met previously, almost 2 years before I met you. So Arco Rents was always talking about you and how great you are as a dancer and choreographer, and she is Javanese, Eko. She's half Javanese and half Australian. So I think you would be matching and would like to work together. And I said to him, why don't you match me up to her with her so we can work together? And then from there, it was suddenly a year after, I think it's 2009, I believe that when he came to Indonesia, he immediately saying, Eko, the project with you and Melanie will be happening. So I was excited. I was very happy. And I did actually quite searching about you, Mel. I call Melanie is always bit Mbak because it's, as a man in Solo for Japanese culture, we always respect the woman and we always call Mbak, which is M-B-A-K, which is sister.
Yeah, and likewise, I call Eko Mas, which is like brother. Yeah.
Like a brother, yeah. So I call back Melanie. I searched about you, Mel, in Google's, and also Arco was saying, showing me the video of the previous work that you did with Arco. It was quite, exciting. And finally, 2010, almost the end of 2010, we met in Solo, in Wisma Seni, which is the place then where we start the project of the Solid State. I think when I met you first time, I would say it's just really, incredible seeing what we call it Indo in Indonesia, what we call it Indo, no? So Indo is Indonesian, half Indonesian and half, Western or white kind of person. Or bule, what we call it bule in Indonesia. So that was really impressed. I mean, watching you dancing and then start learning Javanese dance with Mas Pamin, Mbak Yun, Almarhum. It was quite very, very exciting for me to see and how that actually then we developed a piece directed by Arco, but actually we created it together as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that was very amazing to see that process looking back at that memories, it's just really, the idea of stability and instability. I was Javanese, I am Javanese, but not really Javanese. I was born in Borneo, my father was Dayak, and my mother Chinese, Javanese. So it's kind of like about Melanie's Javanese and Australian. So how that kind of, I'm living a lot in America, in US, but Melanie never been to Java. So it's kind of interesting to see that connected and to see that as a study for the process that we have.
Yeah. And I also think this project in particular, I feel like for both of us, was sort of a pivotal moment for us, not only as performers, but as as makers, because I feel like we're both quite influenced by that experience and that with Arco. But my memory of that time, so Solid States is a work for Echo and myself, which ended up to be basically two solos that are bridged together, and was really drawing upon our experience of navigating how we search for our connections to heritage or to physical history and experience. And it was really quite confronting for me, actually, coming to Indonesia for this project, because it was the first time I had come to Indonesia since I was a child. So I had had this really long period of having no connection, really, apart from through my mother, of course, and my family. I hadn't had a real connection with Indonesia until this project, where I was sort of like thrown in the deep end almost. You know, it was like 3 months in Solo, which is in Central Java. And I found it actually quite confronting, because I realized in that moment I'd spent so much time sort of being busy surviving as an independent artist and not really considering this ancestry that I hold in my body, in my history. And being there really shook that. I was like, wow, you know, I have this huge part of my ancestry that I haven't invested in. And it was really funny, because it was like so many encounters that really triggered that. Like even watching you, Echo, performing your traditional dances and song, I was actually really jealous of you. You know, I was like, wow, you know, this man, he has so much knowledge that has been transferred from ancestor to ancestor to ancestor, and it's so deep and it's so embedded. And so there was this real sort of like longing from my side to be able to know what that feels like, or how can I sort of even get a taste of it, or how can I somehow touch it in a way. And so that time was really, really meaningful. So I had like you said, I had the private dance classes, Javanese dance classes with Bakyun, Maspam.
Maspam and Bakyun.
Yeah, and it was really hard. Like it was such a interesting experience, because in learning those dances, I realized actually how far away they were from me, and how I had to sort of really dig and excavate sort of my body to even attempt or to try to feel it. And I think, you know, that was sort of the essence of the work, in a way, was this searching or this attempting to try to feel these parts of you that are embedded in your body in some way or another. And I think for me, that experience has really informed a lot of the ways that I work now in and around sort of this space of being in between, which in that time felt very confusing and discombobulating. And I think the work was about that sort of instability and like how you sort of navigate or hold on to those experiences. I think for me that experience for me was really strong and continues to sort of inform how I think about how I position myself between knowledge and ancestral sort of knowledge as well.
Well, I think it's also happened with me. I think it's sort of like a kind of a in reverse, where I, you know, have to return back to Javanese core dance, to Javanese dance that is really, actually we choose to using a lot of Alu style and the Cakil style. Alu style is a refined movement style of the Javanese. And then the Cakil is the giant style of the strong male character.
Yeah.
And it was just the beginning of it when Arco was asking me to do this. I was like, again, Do I have to do it again? Do I have to return back to Java? Do I have to return back to study Javanese? I mean, to presenting Javanese dance, which you know, it's in Indonesia. Sometimes when you become the contemporary dance, it's sort of like a bit of boundaries between the real dancer that's still dancing Javanese dance continuously with a person like me who actually being away from it. Of course, I was dancing with my grandfather, with my teacher since I was a child. But then being, you know, traveling and being in America, being all over the world, I feel like a lot of a friend of mine feel like I am not good at Javanese dance anymore. It's really like it's sort of like shaming myself to be dancing a Javanese dance, chord dance, a refined style. So it's really tough at the time for me as a Javanese dance, practicing a Javanese dance in front of my Javanese friends, working with European choreographers or director, plus with you. So it's sort of like a pushing those boundaries that I already have as a stereotype of a contemporary dance. It will not good at the Javanese dance anymore. So it's just really challenging. But yet at the same times when then Arco actually giving me the task, you know, dancing Bromastro, which is one of the dance solo characters that, you know, dancing by 1 meter square, while I also have to smoking very slow. I remember that moment, and it was just really challenging. And by then, the more tasks that he pursued to me, it was very interesting, and it was really making like, you know, that's instability. That's what we're looking for. Especially after we use the setting, the earthquake machine. So it's just really, you know, physically that we've been challenged by not only the task, but also the physical tools that we explore on that. And so I think that was the other layers of the experience that I have. Of course, and then, you know, watching you dancing Cakil or Javanese dance, which is, you know, at the time I feel like, it's just, you know, it's not about, you know, a good Javanese dancer doing Javanese dance or not good a Western dancer doing a Javanese dance. So it was make me putting me on another layer, that understanding that the body itself, it's just really not about the technique, about the criteria of the good Javanese dance or good any kind of dance, but about the body, how they representing the movement or the ancestor, layer of an ancestor and tradition, which is then it's become very important for us at that time. I feel like it's not really about Javanese or Western again, but about the body that elaborating the idea and pursuing the another comfort, non-comfort zone of the body, of our dance, I think.
Yeah, it feels really very much like, you know, even when I'm in, since 2011, I visited Indonesia a lot after that, because I was really just so, keen to learn more and to understand actually how I position myself there. Because, you know, every time I go there, and still, even though I've been back so many times now and spent so much time there, I still feel like a tourist. You know, I still feel like a bullet. And people still call me a bullet, you know, because that's what I look like visually. And that's what I am. That's what I am. I mean, and it has taken me a long time to feel confident that space is actually interesting to occupy, to actually, instead of like trying to be something that I'm not, you know, I'm not full Javanese person. I can never understand what that lived experience is completely, but I can understand my sort of transcultural weird positioning, you know, in that space. And I think that space is actually really interesting, but it has taken and still takes me a lot of time to understand how to navigate it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that work that we did back in the day was really the beginning of that trajectory of searching. And mm-hmm. I've come to learn that trajectory of searching is the work that I'm interested in, just the searching in itself. Like, and I'm interested in what that searching looks like mm-hmm. in the body as a language or as a choreography, and what kinds of sort of mythologies can be created from that space.
Mm-hmm. I think for me also, directly working with Arco and you, Mel, in that piece, it just really make me realize that the returning of the being Javanese dancer, doing a Javanese dance with a lot of tasks, with a lot of challenging moment or tools that we can use, and understanding how that the area of deconstructing the movement by the physical tool, the earthquake, a machine, by understanding from the outside perspective of Arco, who's not also Indonesian, who's not also Javanese, and you know, face to face and dealing with these two solos that we have, and watching you dancing, interpreting of the Javanese movement with your own body, with your own interpretation of the energy, it just make me realize that this is what I wanted to do more, understanding and how this tool and how this strategy of making from thing that is very solid, but it's not from anywhere else, but it just really returned back to a Javanese dancer, a person that live and study Javanese dance, but then traveling abroad for quite some time, which then I also remember when I was in America, being a Javanese dance is being exoticifying all the time, but it's American. How I am not, you know, I'm not capable to pursue some kind of like a modern dance or a modern technique, where I am still, you know, Javanese exotic man dancing a modern weird dance, you know, it's just, that happened. So yeah, so I think that's also happening, and with this work, it just make me realize that from the tool, I mean from the thing that we simply have, I think that we can elaborate into something bigger and something that is, you know, it's a global discourse. It's not only just, you know, physical movement. For me, understanding of stability and instability, that's sort of like the trajectory of the understanding that we need to work on that path. And then, as you know, since then, coming to Jailolo and working with these Jailolo dancers with that traditional dance, that I am becoming a foreigner from that kind of perspective. So it's just really helpful, and it's just really strongly, you know, encourages me to think more on that direction.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So because I think we both work in that way, that we often sort of are drawn to bodies that are outside of our own remit of dance knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm often drawn to bodies that have a really specific history, like whether they're bodybuilders or ballet dancers or exotic dancers or people with a disability. I'm interested in learning, working with bodies that I can achieve or somehow shift the lens in which my knowledge can be that I can accumulate that other, I can sort of see through the lens of another body. But you do that through what I've seen through the different works that you're creating across the islands of Indonesia. And that always really fascinates me about how you as a Javanese Borneo man, how you sort of approach that in working with these different communities in often quite isolated parts of Indonesia with very specific sort of traditional dances and cultures. So yeah, how do you sort of approach that when you arrive somewhere with a new
community
of people?
I think it was you know, a moment that I was really exhausting. I was really tired, and it was really, at the same time, I was really worried because all my dancers in Solo Dance Studio at the time and all my dancers in my community, they can do anything I want. They're creating more work that even beautiful and strong than I am. I was just like, oops, what should I do? So when I come and got the invitation to Jailolo, it was really opened my eyes that it's just not only Java that we can explore. That is not only Ramayana and Mahabharata that we can pursue as an idea of the work. But also this community, this surrounding island that is very, I would say it's very limited in many different access. But yet at the same time, they have so much material. They have the richness of the tradition that you know, it's so different than Java. And I was very fascinating on that moment when I came there and when I saw these dancers. And it was just, but for me, looking back and thinking back on the process of you know, me and Arko and you, Mel, thinking of like, what if I'm working here, which I can think over that Arko is me right now here in Jailolo. So you know, it just really make me realize that I am working in a different culture, I'm working in a different attitude, and that's sort of like giving me a space to do a research on not only just looking at the dance technique or the material, the repertoire or the dance, but even the people that I have to meet, that I have to talk, and that I have to eat together, and that I have to, you know, swim together on the ocean. And that's what I apply myself diving into that culture for the beginning. Otherwise, you know, it's always like when I was in America, I was an exotic man of Javanese exotic dancer. Mm-hmm. Where when I was in Jailolo, I was like this colonial man from Java who colonizing other part of Java. So it's really challenging at the time, but I think when I'm thinking what Mastom is always saying, returning back or going back and being a guest person for another culture, I think just let it go, everything in your accessories.
Yeah,
just be them.
It's a really good way of putting it, that you're a guest, and being a guest in another culture requires like a very specific duty of care and way of listening, I think, to the people that you work with. And I really learned a lot about that spending time in Indonesia, and it became, I think, the last project I did in your studios in 2019 was really basically the project was that, because it was the first work I initiated in Indonesia with a full Indonesian team, five dancers, dramaturg and two musicians. Actually, one of the musicians is half Australian, half Balinese, Rama Pawata. But it was that thing again of me trying to understand, okay, how do I position myself as someone from the West coming to Indonesia and working with this with this group of artists that that share like a very specific, although very diverse, lived experience there in Indonesia. And yeah, it became more that I was really, and I'm still learning about how to do that in a way. And it was really about listening, actually. So I came there to listen and in some ways, yes, I was facilitating a space where I could do that listening, but also inviting these specific artists who I'd worked with before. I'd met them all through different sort of ways in Padang Panjang, in Sumatra, and in Bandung, and then in Solo, in Jogja. So I think from the beginning of that process, I was trying to be as careful as I can about making sure that I knew the people I was working with and that they wanted to work with me, and that it was a space to really listen and to manifest a way of working, which was about what is our shared experience. And that shared experience really came from, again, going back to this first work we did together 10 years ago. It was really about how do we all share this experience of in-betweenness? Because I learned a lot from these artists that they also experienced that feeling of in-betweenness between the diversity of culture within Indonesia itself, because it's so incredibly culturally diverse. And a lot of the artists are traveling around, you know, the islands, and experience a similar way of negotiating ways to navigate the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think also even when we work at Solid State, and not to mention to compare, but I think when I working in Jailulu and now in Belu for another project, I feel like there is not only listening, but how that we can negotiating in a way that is just really not to be imposing of the power, you know, sort of like a really, really grounded and specific feeling that you need to listening when we are negotiating. It was just really an understanding of how we can putting us myself or ourselves as a person that can empower them rather than you know putting over the power or the delay of that can be damage of the relationship, I think. So I think that's really a really big challenge for me to and I think learning from Solid State that we have, it just really makes sense how that, you know, that dealing of the negotiating, listening of Arco, listening of you, how you feel learning Javanese standards, and how I feel back to Java and doing this Javanese stand with this shaking moment of the platform, and how that was that I was dancing very carefully and tried to be good, but it was distracting all the time, you know, by Arco, and by at some point, like, you know, have the ego of being a choreographer and a Javanese dance, and Arco, it was like, you know, attacking my understanding and my principal knowledge of Javanese dance at the same time. I think that's really powerful, and I found it again when I was in Jailulu, and even more in Belu, you know, how people, you know, same country, but they feel like I still doing, you know, this colonial stuff from as a Javanese dance or as a Javanese person, which is not true because I'm not really Javanese, you know, at the same time. So yeah,
it's all very hybrid, I feel like. Yeah, it's interesting the way that you speak about like exoticism as well, and how you've been exoticized in the West, and that's, yeah, you know, sometimes I feel really stuck because the sort of realm of exoticism is such a sort of slippery territory.
Yeah,
you know, like you can easily, things can be read in so many in so many ways, and in very slippery ways, and Yeah, I've often thought about like how do we read exoticism and how can it be subverted, or how can we actually work with that idea as a question or a provocation in you know our bodies that experience that push and pull of exoticism. Like I think it's like fascinating that you did this whole Madonna tour as a with like this Javanese solo where you were kind of exoticized as this beautiful bird, and you know it's just so interesting, but it was also incredible, you know, like to see that. It's sort of like a never-ending
story. Even I actually take advantage of being exotic for this Madonna tour.
Yeah.
She never cut my hair because I told her, when you cut my hair, you have to find a wife for me because I have to get married. You know, it's my culture. Speaking in a culture,
there's an economy in it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, yeah, I struggle with it sometimes in my own work. You know, I haven't created a lot of work where I sort of specifically search for or speak of this ancestral connection. I've made a couple of works where I have, and it challenges me because of a couple of things. Like, I mean, one is as a diasporic sort of body in Australia, often it feels as though it's been asked of you to go to that space because you are, and it's hard to be able to balance that with a history that has been influenced from so many other, interests.
I was just wondering though, when I'm performing my trilogy, Karajailulu, Balabala, and Salt in Australia specifically, there's a lot of question that is just really not, you know, ordinary question as I received when I was in America, for example. I don't know. Do you know why? I think because of, at some point, I also dealing with the indigenous culture in Jailolo, and also, you know, referring to a place in Jailolo that this is not really, you know, it's just really known as this great cultural state or region that you know, dealing with a lot of history. And when I was performing in Australia, more so it's more about, they are more interested on the speaking and discussing with the dancers and how the experience of them working with this company and touring and performing, while you know, understanding where they're coming from is also a point that is really projecting on this, a lot of discussion that we have in Australia. As you might remember that we're performing for Sydney Festival and those in Melbourne and it's just really Asia Topa. So it's really something that is quite rewarding for me to see how the response of the audience in Australia. Mm. Although in Europe at some point, it's also another different perspective, I think.
In what way is it different in Europe?
I still kind of like thinking that in Europe at some point, really still looking at the piece, some kind of like a traditional, again, exotic traditional dance. Whereas in Australia, I never get that expression before. I mean, up until the last piece that we did for Ibu Belu, that we supposed to performing in Asia Topa last year. Never get that kind of a response on that.
It's really interesting. I'm just keeping an eye on the time, but I'm really curious actually how how you formulate, because you work with a lot of dancers and you work with their sort of traditional dance, but you always you find ways in which you can frame it or sort of deliver it through a very contemporary lens. And I think that's, yeah, I'm just really fascinated in like how, what does it mean to be contemporary working with traditional bodies?
Yeah. And also not to mention they are not professional dancers, all of them. They are really like how do you call it? It's like a ordinary person from the village, from this island, that it just not really have no experience at all, at some, no whatsoever to even dancing on stage, 1 hour long show. And for Ibu-Ibu Belu, for example, they never think that this traditional dance of Likurai can be birth something bigger, not only just about the traditional dance. But I think what I want to say was actually how actually I was very fascinating and interested on the rawness of them. So it's the rawness, is the spirit, the freedom that I'm looking for the dance, for the dancers, and how that we can work together on this way. Thinking about that the rawness has become something that is very pure, very neutral. And of course, choreographically, artistically, again, changing in the process of, you know, having Arco as a dramaturg, also having Masian Martin as a lighting designer. The feedback even more interesting for me, how that we can see this process, this work, discussed by three other different personality and different culture. And that's what I found very also interesting after working with you and Arco in Solid State, is just to have that, a lot of discussion, have a lot of perspective. And I think I never received that kind of impulse of this process before, up until Solid State and then continuing from that.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that also when I began working more in Indonesia and finding that conversation was something that was less familiar.
There was
more this sort of process of teaching or transferring or replicating as a process to create work, and conversation seemed to be something that was like
taboo.
taboo, or like there was a fear of it or something. But I think the project I did in 2019 with those dancers and that team was very much about conversation, and it felt really sort of liberating and really beautiful what came out of it. So
and also more interesting, especially for Ibu-Ibu Belu, for example, after this conversation with Arco and Jan Martin, for example, and also Renee was there, my dramaturg, Indonesian colleague that we have in Indonesia. It's also thing then there is now a become a, some another layer of the dancers that join for the discussion. So that's really, really, really make me exciting at the time for process of Ibu-Ibu Belu. Cry Jai Lolo, Bala Bala, and Salt probably more only the direction of the discussion between me and Arco, me and Mas Iskandar or Mas Wawan or Mbak Ubid for Bala Bala. But for Ibu-Ibu Belu, it was just really three layers of discussion. Me, Mas Arco, Mas Jan, all this team of the creative team, and also the dancers. And I was surprised that the dancers, well, maybe because the dancers are teachers. They are teachers, high school kids teachers, and teaching history, teaching math. And at the same time, I sort of like giving a space from the beginning of the process to involve them on the discussion. So that's really exciting for me. And it's just become something that is inhabit during my process. Instead of, you know, before it was like, yeah, transferring the movement, replicating, how you feel, can you do that, can you do this, and blah, blah, blah. But now it's more about that interacting discussion, and also something that is very important that can be discussed, can be shared with all of the team.
Mm. Yeah, I think maybe to sort of wrap it up, because I think we have to finish soon, but just sort of touching on a couple of things that stood out to me in the last things you said was this idea of purity and rawness. I think, yeah, is something that I really admire in your work, and also in my time that I've spent in Indonesia, that's something that I long for, I think, in my own work, and I'm still searching for, but yeah, more to dream into.
We'll continue.
To be continued, yeah.
Thank you both. I'm just going to just jump in so that we can move into a Q&A. So as you've been talking, people have been writing in questions through the Q&A section. So thank you everyone that has submitted a question. And if you would still like to ask a question, you can just jump into the Q&A and type something in. So our first question is to Melanie from Tina Allenan. Eko speaks of cultural understanding when working outside his culture, and you've talked a bit about being a guest in another country. So I'm interested to hear about your experiences working with the cultural peoples and dance makers of these lands.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't worked for a choreographer, a First Nations choreographer, but I have worked with people, First Peoples, in the last years as a collaborator and as a dancer. However, I've spent most of my professional life overseas. So I spent, I think, from graduating until 2015, I was based in Europe. So I've still got a lot to learn being here on country, and it's something that I want to invest more time in, definitely, yeah.
Thanks, Melanie. And a question to both of you from Carol Brown. Thanks, Carol. You mentioned different gender relations, sister, brother. How do gender roles and sexualities inform how you navigate cultural differences between Australia and Indonesia?
But male first? Oh, yeah,
but
male first.
Me first? That's quite a big question. Yeah, I mean, I think that I experience a different sense of cultural awareness when I'm in Indonesia, and there's there's a sensitivity to the body and to, as a woman, it's interesting. As a woman, I think there are some ways in which I shift the way I present myself or the way that I interact, not so much in a negative way, but in more a sense of respect, I think. So I don't know if that really answers the question, but in terms of gender roles, but how would you feel about that, Eko?
Well, maybe. Is it Professor Carol Brown? I respect her so much. Thank you for the question. Well, of course, in Indonesia, you can just obviously seeing that in Indonesia is man, masculinity is more powerful than woman in every culture in Indonesia, as far as I know. Dealing with that, and that's, I think that's sort of like my understanding now. For example, when I did Bala Bala, it's about gender roles in Jailolo, where a woman now, is being forcing to be low by the man in Jailolo, especially that culture is really masculine culture. Woman is only play in the kitchen and serving the family. It's very obvious, but I think when I found out in Bala Bala, it's just about this group of women in one village in Jailolo, which they are all agree to be divorced women. They're all more happy to be divorced by the men instead of, you know, being with them but still beating and hitting by this man. And that's become sort of the idea, or not to mention Jailolo, even just my mother. you know, my mother passed away because of that kind of like rule power of my father and my mother. So I see it myself how that in Indonesia still that kind of power and gender agenda on this culture is still really, really obvious. Man is really more than, you know, dominant than woman. So I think that with two of my work, Bala Bala, and now with Ibu Belu, it's, I think that's a space for me to make them, well, not to make them understand, but to make myself understand more that the power of woman is not about, you know, or the power of gender, male or female, is not about, you know, playing physicality of that understanding the gender. But I think deep down and philosophically in Java, during my, you know, experience with my mother, myself, it's something that is just really, you know, make it my sort of wash out all the agenda of my father being a masculine and male in my family, and that taught me, my mother actually taught me how that in a different layer, in a different perspective, that my mother is more powerful than my father, including in Bala Bala, as Bufau, for example, one of the women that in Jailolo that play the role of this woman now, divorced woman, to fight again, but nothing fighting, you know, using this violence, but very soft power that can deleted all this, you know, understanding of this role of the man ruling or the woman.
I was just going to say also that, you know, having been spent time in Sumatra as well, where there is a much more matriarchal culture there, it was really interesting to experience that. Like, Indonesia is not just one culture, it's so many diverse cultures, and there are different sort of systems in relation to gender. And so, you know, for example, in Sumatra, in Minang culture, the woman is very, holds a lot of power, actually. Mm-hmm. I think that's very complex. I think it's difficult to say Indonesia and Australia because, I mean, like, you know, there's so much complexity in both of those places.
Yeah, like in Belu, for example, the rule power of the woman is actually taking care of all the kids, which is the power of it, which is nothing, again, something that is really gender role of men and women. They play role of the economy because they're making the tenun, the weaving. So the tenun is actually paying more power of the family that can live for the whole family. And Likurai is the dance, the traditional dance that is really engaging a lot of and showing a lot of power of the woman through the family, through the community, and the ritual activities for these tribes and this you know, rumah adat in Belu. So it's looking at that, you know, it's just not about you know, physical rule or sexuality of that male dominant or female dominant, but I think there's a lot of complexity around that can be, you know, researched and discussed more, even deeper, and it's just really exciting to have this understanding in my own country.
Thank you. I think this is probably be the last question that we have time for. This question's coming from Karen Berzins. I loved hearing your discussion and your thoughtfulness and consideration of confronting your sense of yourselves in each space you find yourselves in. I sense a real two-way exchange with the people you work with. Can you explain how you came to work with the different groups in the first place? Were you invited by them or did you seek them? Sorry if you explained this at the beginning. I'm from a medical and dance background and find the discussion so relevant to my medical work.
Well, for me, I got a lot of invitation to work with, especially for this different culture that I'm now working more focused on eastern part of Indonesia. I think because of the well, at some point in Indonesia, bureaucratically, is the government power and the system of the government at some point, you know, playing the rule of, you know, inviting me, and how much money that I will asking for, and bargaining on that position, and what I can do. Oh, can you bring the international tour like Jailolo? You know, it's really about that right now. But for me, I feel like I needing to spread out of my wings again to not only to Jailolo and other places in eastern part of Indonesia, because it's still so broad, so big. Recently, I was just came to Papua, and I was just really looking at and searching and understanding of the Papua and Papua New Guinea's culture, and how that they can work with 5 different territories in Papua and 2 other territories in West Papua, and many 17 territories in Papua New Guinea, and understanding in that, and also looking at Belu and Timor Leste right now that I'm working on. The borders between Indonesia and Timor Leste, the culture that damaged by this physical borders between Indonesia and Timor Leste, where now the hurtness, it's really painful of the family that cannot come easily, doing a ritual, death ritual, birth ritual, both sides, Indonesia or Timor Leste. It just really, you know, at some point, I got a lot of invitation from them, but also at the same time, I feel like by that invitation, I can learn a lot and getting more information and getting more, you know, idea on how that we can, as an artist, I can work with this kind of understanding.
I was invited first for a couple of projects through a Belgian German choreographer Akko, who we've been speaking about a lot, and through those connections that I made, was invited to a number of different projects like choreographic labs and workshops, and then I just started to apply for opportunities for myself to go there through AsiaLink and Australian Arts Council, and also just through my own funding, self-funded ways to go there. Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of tonight's conversation. I think I got to most questions, but apologies to the few questions that we ran out of time to get to. I would like to take this opportunity just to say a massive thank you again to Melanie and Echo for your generosity and insights over this last hour. And also to thank everyone who is Zooming in to this event tonight. I really hope that you enjoyed the conversation as much as I have. Thank you again to tonight's Auslan interpreters, Dave and Nick. It's been wonderful having you. And finally, if you have any feedback on tonight's session or Lucy Dearen's dance dialogue session series in general, you can send an email to admin@lucydeareninc.com. We really appreciate receiving feedback and input from the community. So thank you in advance for that. So that's all from us for this evening. So thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you all again soon.
Good night. Thank you. Thanks, LGI.
Thank you, everybody.
Echo.
Thank you, Batmail.
Take care over there.
You too. Thank you, Nick and Dave. Estella, thank you so much.
Sampai jumpa lagi, ya.
Ya, sampai jumpa. Sehat selalu.
Yeah. So we stay, Echo.